We're turning, please, in the Word of God to that scripture we read from in Luke 19. Folks, to have Christ in the home is without doubt the greatest of all blessings. To have the Savior in your home and to have Him in your heart is a precious thing indeed. We read that in the home of Jairus, where death had entered, in Luke chapter 8, Christ was wanted. In the home at Bethany, that he loved to frequent, he was worshipped. Luke 10. And then eventually in this house of Zacchaeus, he was welcomed. Wonderful thing to want the Savior. And to worship the Savior. And to welcome Him. Welcomed by a man who normally would have nothing to do at all with Jesus Christ. And that's the way it usually is, you know. No time for Him. Yet, He had time for us. This is, you know, the 500th anniversary of Luther, that famous 95 thesis of his. I was in Wittenberg recently, at the very church door where that thesis was nailed. And it was a thrilling thing just to be there. And I noted something, that Luther is highly regarded in Germany. We stayed in a hotel. It was called the Luther Hotel. And in the lobby, there's a statue of Luther, about four times as big as I am, and as broad too. Unbelievable. But anyway, Luther said in his life that he spent years searching for Christ. All the time not aware of the fact that he was searching for Luther. And so it was with Zacchaeus. The Lord Jesus knew all about Zacchaeus, as we'll see in a moment. But Zacchaeus had no time for Christ. Isn't that the same with all of us saved in this meeting tonight? We went for years without him. I was 18 years of age before I was converted. Some 51 years ago, but what a day it was when my eyes were opened and I saw him. All the time, he had his eye on me. Even in my sin, he had his eye on me. And so it is with Zacchaeus. I want you to think about this man just for a few minutes, and as I said earlier, it'll just be a few minutes. Here's a man who was successful. That's the first thing that stands out about old Zacchaeus. We're told in verse 2 that there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. This is about his position. He was a top man. He was no common individual. Not an ordinary 5'8". Oh, to his own people, he was a traitor. But he was a prominent man in the position. And look at his power. It says he wasn't only a publican. He was chief among them. He was the boss. The CEO of all publicans at that time. They were tax collectors, of course. They weren't men who owned public houses. He was over them all. Here was a man, folks, listen. He could pull strings. You see, it's not what you know very often, it's who you know. I remember listening to a knight of the realm being interviewed. He was just made sir somebody or other. And he was booking a very exclusive restaurant, I think in London, where you have to wait months before you can get a booking. There's a wee place like that just over the border here, by the way. And it's the very same, and I know because I've been in it, and I was taken by someone who was able to pull strings. But he phoned up this place and he gave his name and he said, I would like a table for two or whatever it was. Oh, sir, I'm sorry, we're booked for months ahead. Okay, he said, are you sure? He said, but I've just been given a knighthood and I want to celebrate with my wife. There was a pause at the end of the phone. And the man said, just hold a second, sir. And he came back and said, yes, we do have a table that we can give you for your wife. All because he was a sir. And really what he was a vile sinner. That's all he was. But he was a sir, vile sinner. So he got the place, he got the booking. My grandfather, who lived a long time and was 96, I think, before he died, and was as dark as night, by the way. But Granda worked at the docks all his life. The docker in Belfast. And not only that, but he was a blue badge. And that's not the disabled badge thing we're talking about. He was a blue badge holder. He had a little badge called the blue badge. And that gave him precedence. When they went every morning to get work, he, along with all blue badge men, were given preference for jobs. That was just the way it was, because of the badge. And that badge he was able to hand down to his oldest son, and that's what he did. And my uncle Johnny, he got the badge next. But it was a very privileged thing. It's not that he was a better worker, although he was a great worker and worked in his mid-80s. It wasn't because he was a better worker that he got precedence. It's because he had the blue badge, you see. It's who you know, isn't it? Well, with Zacchaeus, it's very much that sort of a situation. His position, his power, his possessions, we're told he was rich. Folks, listen, there's nothing wrong with being rich. I have a friend, sadly, not a blood relative, but he's a friend and a good friend. And his business was valued at over £500 million. Man, I tell you, that's money, isn't it? That's what the business is worth. And there's 4,000 people work for this man. That's not a sin. There's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. But how you attain it, that's the thing. The Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, because it's not. But the love of money is the root of all evil. If all you're looking for in your life is wealth, and you'll do anything to get it. This man would do anything to get it. He betrayed his own people to get this wealth. The man who was successful was still the man who was a sinner. Not only was he a man successful, he was a man who was seeking. Verse 3 tells us of Zacchaeus. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. Folks, it's a blessed day in your life when you seek Jesus. We're not told how he heard about it, but he was committed to doing it. And verse 4 reminds us that he ran. You can't get people today to even drive to church very often. But here's a man who ran. I had a wee man in Dungannon. He was 83 or 84. And I saw him one day in McGeshall running. Yes, running. I wondered what in the world would make him run. And then he told me when I talked to him. It was pension day. He was running to the post office for his pension. Running. Why? He was anxious to get it, you see. Zacchaeus was anxious to see Jesus. It says who he was. And folks, it's important to see Christ as to who he is. Because this is not merely a religious teacher or an ethical preacher. This is the Son of God. This is God the Son. This is the Savior of the world. He was committed to seeing Jesus. And he climbed the tree in order to see Jesus, verse 4 tells us. Probably there were children, as children would be, in trees. When a personality or a famous person was passing, kids would be up the tree like a shot. That didn't bother Zacchaeus. Wealthy man, prominent man, tax collector as he was, he wanted to see Jesus. And so he climbed the tree. And I'll tell you something else. The crowd didn't stop him. You know, it's easy to run with the crowd, isn't it? The old thief on the cross that took Christ in his dying moments, he turned away from the crowd who were crying, "Crucify him." He turned away from his companion. And then he turned to Jesus. That's what you need to do tonight if you're not saved. You need to forget the crowd. Whenever I was saved, you know, I ran about with some serious characters. On the fringes, I was on the fringes of the paramilitary groups. The Lord came and saved me. And I worried, how am I going to face these fellas? Two of them were murdered by their own paramilitary men, two of my best school friends. How am I going to tell these fellas that I'm finished with all of this? Oh, I'm still a loyalist, but I'm finished with the idea of violence and disruption. But you know, you've got to be determined. You can't let them deter you. Never let the crowd stop you getting to Jesus. Whether it's your school friends, your workmates, your family. At a meeting one night, a man started to put up his hand in response to the appeal, and his wife reached forward, grabbed his arm, pulled it back. He never put it up again. Don't let anyone stop you from coming to Christ. How important it is that you see Jesus. He was a man who was successful and a man who was seeking. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You do that tonight? If you've never done it, will you do it? Young person, older person, will you not do it? Thirdly, he was a man who was seen. Verse 5, it says, Jesus came to the place, looked up and saw him. The Bible says, thou God seest me. Put yourself in Zacchaeus' place just now. Wonder what went through his mind. Would he not have thought, he sees me? And then the Lord called his name. Will he not say, he knows me? And then he says, come down. He wants me. The Lord saw him. Then the Lord said to him. Then the Lord sought to be with him. Isn't that just like the Savior, folks? You know, he sees you in your sins. He sees you in your need. He fully understands your problems. And he speaks to you. And he only speaks to you through this word. Oh, don't listen to people that tell you they've had visions and revelations and all of that. It's the word of God you need to yield to. All you need for your salvation and your passport to heaven is what's revealed in this blessed book we have before us. The Lord spoke to him. the Lord spoke to you? Have you heard that sweet voice of the Son of God saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me. Put your trust in me. The Lord saw him. He was a man who was seen. But then he was a man who was submissive. Jesus said in verse 5, come down. And in verse 6, he came down. In other words, he did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And if you're ever going to be saved, my friend, that's what you must do. You need to do what God in his word and his book tells you to do. You cannot be saved unless you submit, and until you submit to the word of God, it's not enough to hear it. You've got to respond to it. The man sat for 30 odd years in the Martyrs Memorial Church, and he never missed. And he hung on to every word of the preacher over 30 years. But he never responded until one night. It seemed just out of the blue. But he did respond, and he did come, and he found Christ. And in a very short time, I don't know how long it was, but it was very short, he was in eternity. Folks, he just made it. He procrastinated, he put it off for decades. Now, it wouldn't be easy to listen to Ian Paisley all those years in his gospel preaching. It wouldn't be easy to sit there and listen to it all. But he did, and he never missed. Thank God he got in time. Oh, when the voice of Jesus calls you, friend, listen. Be in time. He responded to God's word. That's what you need to do. You need to respond tonight to the word of God. Then he was a man very quickly who was sorry. In verse 8 he said to the Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. That's more than the law demanded, you know. He didn't have to give the half. Didn't have to give near the half. But he wanted to make things right. You remember what John the Baptist said to the Pharisees? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Prove that you're genuine. Show that you're real. It was said that when Nicholson preached for a week or two in Belfast, that they had to build another shade in Harland and Wolff's down at the shipyard. Know what for? To take all the goods that men restored and brought back that they had stolen. They were wanting to make restitution to prove the reality of what had happened in their lives. Well, that's what Zacchaeus was doing here. He was wanting to show the Lord, I'm real. Money's not my motivation anymore. I give a lot of it up. What he's doing is bringing forth fruits meet for repentance. And he did it, you know, publicly. He did it in front of everybody. A mark of true repentance, beloved. Now, do you know anything about it? He that steals will steal no more. When I was converted to Christ, I say it to my shame tonight, a filthy mouth, filthy tongue. I could swear for nearly 5 minutes without repetition. That was really bad. It really was bad. But that day that Jesus Christ washed me in his blood, he cleaned this tongue as well. The Bible says it's a new heart you get. And so it is, folks. God gives Saul another heart. He'll give you another heart. He'll cleanse away all the sin. Maybe it's not swearing. I love to gamble as well. In my youth, I just lived for films and movies and cinema. Football, no harm in that, in its right place. And I knew as a football supporter, if I was going to do it, I'd have to support the right team, so I did that. That was Linfield, Liverpool, and Glasgow Rangers. And I thought, it's not too bad when I support those teams. But never get carried away with any of it. It's Christ that makes the difference. And folks, with Christ in the vessel, hallelujah, you can smile at the storm. Last of all, he's a man who was saved. That's it. Jesus said in verse 9, this day, not next week or the week to come, this day is salvation come to this house. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's seeking. You know, in relation to babies and little children before the age of accountability, the word seek is not used. You look up the reference. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And I believe that's what happens to a child, an infant. Doesn't have to seek them. He's already atoned for their sins. Just saves them. But you who know right from wrong, you who know the gospel, you who know where you're at, friend, listen, he's seeking. And in turn, you need to seek him. What a word of assurance. Zacchaeus, you're now a child of God. You're saved by the grace of God. And that day, passing through Jericho, the Lord worked the miracle in the heart of this man. And friend, what he did for him, he can do for you. And in this little gathering, if you're not saved, well, I tell you, you can be saved. You can leave this place with Christ in your heart. I remember some did that during the mission and other missions in Garva. Saved here. I had a lady in my church in Dungannon. And I told the story of the hymn written by Spafford, Horatio Spafford. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. I just related the story during the course of a message of how that hymn came about, how his wife and his girls were crossing to England and the boat was sunk and the girls were drowned, and he got a telegram in America from his wife when she arrived in Southampton, and all it simply said was, saved alone. When sorrows like sea billows roll. He wrote that hymn. He made that journey also, and the captain of the ship told him at the very spot where the boat went down. He went and he wrote that beautiful hymn. My sin, not in part, but the whole. It's nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. May God bless you and do that mighty work.